This is Teresa Trent, and you are listening to Books to the Ceiling, a podcast that features excerpts from new mysteries coming on to the market. Well, today we're headed to Santa Barbara with Detective Sergeant Kate Flynn. She is at a grisly murder scene, and the first contact she has to speak with is a monk. A really handsome monk. Let's check out the thriller, Twist of Time, by Guy Waldron. Here's a little more about the book. A fast-paced thriller by Emmy Award-nominated screenwriter, producer, and director Guy Waldron. Detective Sergeant Kate Flynn of the Santa Barbara Police Department is called in to investigate a gruesome decapitation and homicide. Her first clue comes from a most unlikely source, an Anglican monk and Celtic studies expert. Brother Thomas has been expecting the hand delivery of a priceless diary of a 14th century Templar knight, but instead he finds the messenger has been murdered. Kate and Thomas are pulled deep into a centuries-old mystery with roots in medieval Europe and branches that lead to government intelligence, the Vatican, and a top-secret private lab where untold powers were being alchemized that could alter the face of humanity forever. It's a race against evil to uncover a plot that could lead them to centuries-old treasure or to their own demise at the hands of a deranged tech billionaire who has nothing to lose. With parallel quest for the truth taking place centuries apart and a touch of mysticism, readers will be taken on a suspenseful journey with one twist after another in Twist of Time, an electrifying novel of intrigue and history. Readers of thrillers and novels of suspense by Dan Brown, Ken Follett, David Balducci will savor every surprise in screenwriter Guy Waldron's fiction debut. Now here is an excerpt from Twist of Time. Chapter 1. The nude woman's body had no head. Homicide Detective Sergeant Kate Flynn first thought it was obscured by the thick undergrowth of sumac brush where the body lay. Moving closer, she was surprised to see only the stub of neck edged with a ring of dried black blood. The rest of the neck was, presumably, attached to the missing head. For the average cop of 35, the unexpected might startle. No head was very unexpected. But Kate was not average. She was a third-generation Irish cop with an IQ that hovered in the 140s. When she was a teenager and decided she wanted the same career as her father, a homicide detective, he began showing her crime scene photos from his cases. For Kate's 18th birthday, she watched her first forensic autopsy. As a veteran cop, this missing head was no more than an underline in her crime scene notes. She was keenly aware of the uniformed officer watching. His name was Lester Hicks, twice passed over for a promotion. He was a dough-pudgy jerk and a gossip. Kate had been in the Santa Barbara Police Department little more than a year, having transferred from Los Angeles Homicide as Detective Sergeant. She was still fighting currents of male resentment, and she knew that Lester was going to report back to the boys on her first homicide in Santa Barbara as lead detective. He was hoping like hell to say that she screwed up. Lester cleared his throat to get attention. The hands are gone too. He seemed pleased. And the feet. She moved in for a closer look. The dumbass got that part right. The hands and feet were missing. She looked for defense wounds and discovered a circular abrasion on the left wrist. From her pocket, Kate produced a tape recorder and began dictating. Notes on Jane Doe homicide corpus. Left wrist abrasion suggests possible handcuff attached to briefcase. No head, no dental. No hands and feet, no prints. Killer was very determined to prevent identification. This appears textbook, a pro. Hicks grinned, showing broken teeth, a parting souvenir from his ex-wife who finally took exception to his abuse. I think she was killed someplace and dumped here. Really? Damn, I thought it was road rage. From his blank look, he obviously missed her sarcasm. The man was an imbecile. No, you're wrong, he argued. Two hikers found her, teenagers, a dude and a girl. They're waiting in my cruiser.
You question them?
Yeah, they're spooked. Probably the head thing. They came down off that upper trail.
He indicated the dirt road about 30 yards above.
And here she was.
They were interrupted by the sound of a vehicle on the road. Kate expected to see the forensic van, but it was another Santa Barbara PD cruiser. The door on the passenger side opened, and a man got out. The officer pointed toward Kate. He nodded thanks and began walking down the hill through the low underbrush toward her. From habit, she sized him up as if writing a police description. Height, 5'11 to 6'1". Weight, 185 to 195. Age, 38 to 43. Even features, ruddy complexion, hair dark and close-clipped, wearing jeans, a leather jacket, and running sneakers. Based upon the report from homicide that morning, everything about him was wrong. He should be dressed in a monk's robe like the others at the St. Joseph Monastery on the mountain above Santa Barbara. He should be pale and have a weird haircut. He was too young. Shouldn't monks be older, like in the movies? And he should definitely not be attractive. Obviously, this was the wrong guy. Detective Sergeant Flynn, I'm Thomas Bardsey.
It was the right guy.
Thanks for coming, Kate said. I thought you'd be wearing a monk's habit.
Well, I do at the monastery. Outside, we usually dress civilian. I came as...
He saw the body. Oh, dear God.
You reported a missing person 2 days ago? Denise Hollander? The woman was found this morning. Since there is no head, we hoped you could make an ID. You might recognize her from the identifying marks on her body.
I'm a monk.
So?
I've never seen her naked.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Besides, a head wouldn't help. I have no idea what she looks like.
Well, didn't you report her missing?
Yes, but we never met. She flew in from New York 2 days ago. We had an appointment to meet at the monastery. When she didn't show, I phoned her company in Baltimore and they said she arrived in Los Angeles. She had called her boss with her mobile phone while driving to Santa Barbara, and I immediately notified the police.
He frowned. Isn't all that in my missing person report?
I haven't seen it yet. Homicide woke me at home and said you'd meet me here.
She looked him over.
I've never seen a monk out of uniform. I'm Catholic, too. Terminally lapsed.
I'm not Catholic. I'm Anglican.
Oh, I didn't know they had monks.
Monks, nuns, the priests can marry. Also women priests. I like to say that we have all the problems.
Her laugh and the spark in her eyes surprised him. She was very attractive.
His gaze shifted from her eyes to the dead body.
My only contact with her was by phone and email.
What were you meeting about?
She was bringing me a manuscript, a diary, 14th century. Her company asked me to translate it, he added.
Celtic studies is my field.
Kate had no idea what that meant.
Is the diary valuable?
He paused before answering.
Quite valuable.
Enough to kill for?
He paused again.
That would depend upon what's in the translation.
His pause suggested he was being evasive.
Great. A reluctant witness. Opening her writing pad, she scribbled the note.
Who wrote the diary?
A monk, a Templar knight named Bryken.
Spell it?
He did.
Rhymes with Bryken. The ch sounds like a k.
A Celtic term, meaning royal bloodline.
So, what is a Templar knight?
And that was an excerpt from Twist of Time. Twist of Time is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookshop.org, and Goodreads. Now here's a little more about our author. Guy Waldron is an Emmy Award nominated screenwriter, producer, and director.
who has written chart-topping television sitcoms, dramas, miniseries, and movies. He has created 3 network series, including The Dukes of Hazzard, and is known for the action comedy film Moonrunners, which he wrote and directed. He started his film career in Hollywood working as a staff writer for legendary producer Norman Lear on hit shows such as One Day at a Time. After an 8-year run with The Dukes of Hazzard, he segued into True Crime Limited Series. He received an Emmy Award nomination for the 6-hour limited series Billionaire Boys Club and wrote other projects including The Menendez Brothers, Brotherhood of the Rose, Innocent Victims, and The Unabomber. His creative work for theater received an American National Theater and Academy, ANTA, award. In 2024, Guy Waldron received a Grady Fellowship from his alma mater, the Grady College of Journalism and Mass Communications at the University of Georgia. Whether writing for the screen, for the stage, or for readers around the world, Waldron is widely known for his unique blend of action, comedy, and suspense, always leaving audiences highly entertained. With a background of serving in U.S. counterintelligence in Europe, Guy, aka Gyneth, has written about the fields of intelligence and crime. Stationed in Germany in the late 1950s, he was on the KGB desk working with captured Gestapo files and monitoring CIC, that's Counterintelligence Corps, operations against various communist intelligence services during the Cold War. Additionally, he worked with American operatives in executing orders from U.S. command. He draws heavily on his experiences when writing fiction. Prior to his career in Hollywood, Guy worked in broadcast television at WSB-TV in Atlanta, Georgia. There, he was a director of specials, sports, and documentaries. Guy worked on many civil rights documentaries and directed feeds to NBC's Huntley Brinkley Report that focused on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his associates. A native Southerner, he now lives in Malibu, California, in a canyon between the mountains and the ocean, where he is writing his next novel, Fugue. You can catch up with Guy at his website at Guy, that's spelled G-Y, dash Waldron.com. That's all we have this week on Books to the Ceiling. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate, review, or follow us. And don't forget to tell other mystery readers about Books to the Ceiling. If you want to find Books to the Ceiling on the internet, this is a part of my blog, and you can find it at teresatrent.blog. Thank you so much for stopping by, and I hope to see you again next time with a new mystery on Books to the Ceiling.